I'm Reinhard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 201 for the weekend starting 15 December 2017.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, real technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, Amazon is coming, yeah.
Also this week, Asha Bobot returns to EOH and SARS wants its Bitcoin pound of flesh.
Mm. It's time for your weekly dose of tech. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the show. How's it, Reinhard?
How's it, Duncan?
10 days to Christmas.
I cannot believe it. I'm sure everybody's saying that, but yeah. Where did this year go? And it's always Christmas.
It always sneaks up. I find winter ends, and then suddenly it's the end of the year.
Suddenly it's the year, yeah. The last month certainly went by very quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm still trying to find a way to enjoy a holiday in between all of this. But like all of us who love what we do, there's no real breaks, you know.
No.
But
it's certainly been a busy run-up to this year's festive season, that's for sure. And I'm still chasing down quite a few stories, and I'm still around next week. So, busy.
Something's going to happen.
It's always quiet in January, I find. It's pushing more and more towards Christmas, and then everyone just goes quiet just before Christmas.
And let's not forget the conference happening this weekend. I'm sure there'll be lots coming from that.
Yes, I think that we're all going to be glued to the TV this weekend to see who is our likely next president. I'm going to be watching the Rand dollar and Rand euro exchange rates very carefully as well, because depending who gets elected, I think the Rand could either crash or pick up quite substantially.
It's almost too nail-biting to worry about what could go wrong for me.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that the right people get where they need to be ultimately.
Yeah.
Oh. But are they going to be streaming this live on YouTube?
Know.
I'm sure some station must. ETV usually do. SABC does, maybe.
Yeah, SABC does ANN7 streams on YouTube if you want to watch.
Without the commentary, would be just the live stream.
Indeed, and without the on-screen graphics. But it's certainly going to be an interesting weekend, and something that's going to affect all of us for years to come. So
it's pretty big.
It's a big one. Yeah, it's a big one. And we're only 18 months away from the next election as well. And depending what happens this weekend, 2019 could be a very interesting year in terms of election. Because if Nkosi Sono Dlamini Zuma wins, I think there's a very strong possibility that the ANC will split in two and that they will then lose the election in 2019.
Look, either way, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because the changes we're going through now as a result of what's been happening currently in the presidency. Mm. I mean, it's interesting times from a spectator point of view, but it's quite nerve-wracking from a South African point of view, actually.
Yeah. It's all to play for. Did you watch the court judgment yesterday, by the way? And the Zuma was basically slapped down and told...
Yes.
That, they basically accused him of being a vexatious litigant and ordered him to pay the costs of his appeal out of his own pocket. He's in a lot of trouble.
But isn't he also, he is in a lot of trouble, but I also heard he's appealing a part of the judge's judgment.
No, he hasn't said anything about, not yet anyway, but he certainly said he's going to appeal the judgment related to Sean Abrams at the NDPP. He's appealing the court's decision that Cyril Ramaphosa, his deputy, must appoint the next director of public prosecutions.
Yes.
And of course, this is directly in his interest, because if he can't appoint that person, Cyril can come in, appoint someone who will then prosecute him, and he's then possibly facing jail time.
It seems so clear. I mean, it seems so clear that he's making the basic chess moves to protect himself, ensure his survival ultimately.
Yeah.
Why does it not seem like, see for what it is?
Well, I think people
the fact
do.
That he's backing into a corner.
I think people do. It's perhaps
it just has to play itself out now, I guess, the process.
Yeah. And he's abusing the legal system to drag this out as long as possible. But if Cyril Ramaphosa wins this weekend, then it's the whole game changes, and I think he's facing a very bleak future. He's going to be bankrupt, unless the Guptas or someone else bankrolls him. But he's not going to be the president anymore. He's not going to have any political influence.
Power,
so why would they bankroll him? Cyril has already come out and said we're gonna crack down on state capture if I win this vote this weekend. So
hopefully the ANC sees the same and kind of the pushes
tide,
behind.
The
behind,
tide so. May be turning if he wins.
If he wins.
If he wins, and it's very unclear at this stage who's going to win. It looks like Cyril's got a slight lead. Certainly, if you look at the branch nominations, but anything can happen on Sunday when they vote.
Turn it into a drinking game. Do you want to join me? I'll bring the craft beer.
We might be very drunk.
The words. Yeah. That's what I want to be at the end of this. Either in celebration or in sadness.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
But anyway.
Either be drowning our sorrows or
celebrating.
Cracking the champagne. Yeah. Anyway, this is not Politics Central, so let's jump in with our focus on tech and start with our quiz. Do you want to do the first question, Rahul?
Certainly. The first question, which is quite an exciting one. Amazon Web Services said this week that it's launching its AWS Direct Connect service in South Africa through which data center operator.
And we're going to talk about that in some detail in the show today. What is the name of the Director General driving government's implementation of the ICT policy white paper?
Third question. Government may amend which piece of legislation to introduce net neutrality rules in South Africa?
And Google this week published its top trending searches in South Africa for 2017. Which late actor was in number one position?
And the final question. Ashtar Babot returned to AOH this week. What will his new role be?
Great. That's our quiz. As always, answers at the end of the show. But let's jump in. There's not a huge amount of news to talk about this week.
A little bit quiet.
It's getting a little quieter, but still some interesting things happening. And one of the interesting things is Amazon's announcement that they are establishing, and here comes an answer to the first question of the quiz, they are setting up AWS Direct Connect service in South Africa through data center operator Teraco. Mm. This, I think, is similar to what Teraco announced with Microsoft, the Microsoft Express Route, I think it's called, service. Microsoft, of course, has announced earlier this year that they're building data centers in South Africa. Actually not physically putting up a building, but they're going to be putting down Azure infrastructure inside existing data centers in South Africa, which is very exciting. And Amazon saying at the weekend, in fact, quoted in the Sunday Times, one of their top executives saying that they are investigating putting down data centers in South Africa as well. Not surprising when their biggest competitor, Microsoft, says they're coming here. I'm sure they'll follow in quick succession. They haven't given timing on it yet, saying they're still doing investigations and they might need to put some infrastructure down in terms of telecommunications before they come and build. But I suspect that we'll have Amazon data centers here as well next year.
Very exciting news. I've long suspected that, this kind of just increases my suspicion that they are going to be coming here as a fully fledged solution. I mean, they're setting up themselves for business, right? They started with recruiting developers in Cape Town, setting up a little shop. Those guys can work anywhere in the world for any Amazon industry, really. And then the data centers come, and then they offer the services. And I mean, it's very exciting, and I absolutely love it. I wish they would come.
With a retail offering.
With a retail offering, I think it could change a lot. I mean, I think it's also scary in some ways because I work with a lot of e-commerce retailers, but I think that it's a very good thing because they're going to certainly bring a change in the industry, and we need it.
I think bringing the Amazon retail operation to South Africa would be a lot more complex than launching AWS data centers.
They have to have that in place for them to then launch because those all form part of the service of offerings.
Sure. There are much bigger countries than ours in terms of economies that don't have Amazon retail services. So I suspect we're quite low down on the pecking order when it comes to that. So I would be surprised if we see an Amazon retail operation in South Africa in the next 5 years.
Perhaps. I'm optimistic. But
They've announced that they've just launched in Australia, and they're really shaking up that market and causing consternation among some of the incumbent retailers there. I would not expect Amazon retail in South Africa anytime soon.
But even if they buy out somebody big like Takealot?
I don't know. That's probably what they would do when they eventually do come. Mm. And I'm sure that's where – I'm sure that's what they'd look at doing rather than setting up a greenfields operation. Yeah. Rather get
also
someone
take out your biggest competitor, really.
Yeah.
Or make them your asset.
Yes. But I think that's some time off. But quite exciting about the data center operations that are coming to South Africa. Now, I'm a OneDrive user, which is Microsoft's cloud offering, and I've noticed dramatic improvements in speed on OneDrive, uploading and downloading files, just in the last couple of weeks. And I think that shows that they've started to spin up the data centers locally.
Do you think it had anything to do with your 200 meg connection that you nearly upgraded? Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Nearly upgraded you. I did upgrade. No. It's I noticed this before.
You mean general speed improvements?
I was getting terrible speeds from OneDrive, actually. You know, 10 megs or less.
That's why I stopped using them. It took too long to upload big chunks of data.
But now it's just as fast as Google Drive, and it maxes my line speed. I haven't tried to use OneDrive since I upgraded this week to 200 meg fiber, but certainly when I was on my 100 meg line, it was full speed to OneDrive.
If it's local servers, then I mean, it should theoretically give you that full speed.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least very close to it.
Yeah, because there's no contention.
But the other thing that always got me about OneDrive, and I don't know if they've improved it yet, but the application always, the syncing side of it, because I've got apps synced between some people that I work with in my team, I don't have the team Dropbox account.
Yeah.
So I just use either the normal straightforward OneDrive or Dropbox. And when I share files with teams, I find with OneDrive, it wasn't as efficient. It just didn't seem to sync as efficiently. I don't know, there was something missing, or it just, I had to wait longer for certain files to sync.
Oh,
so I don't know from your experience if it's been better.
And I haven't tried the team functionality in there, but
I just shared folders. So it's just basically folder sharing on lots of computers.
I save all my work in Word onto OneDrive, so automatically when I create a new document,
so
I save it on OneDrive.
Small documents, yeah.
It was a bit slow, actually, saving onto a OneDrive folder. I'd wait a couple of seconds before I could save. Now it's almost instant.
Yeah, Word took a while to actually. I remember that too.
And now it's almost instant.
Look, the fact you get it for free, you get a terabyte for free with the Office connection, I mean, it certainly makes it the best value offering in South Africa.
Oh, it's very good.
On a tight budget, that's one to go for.
You're paying, I buy the license that allows you to install Office on 5 machines, which costs, I think, about 1,100 or 1,200 rand a year.
And no, I do that one for about $100 a month, $80 a month or something.
Okay, I think the $80 one is for one machine.
For one user, yeah.
So I think if you pay about $100 a month, $120 a month, I just pay annually. You then get get 1 terabyte of storage on OneDrive, which is what you'd pay for a 2 terabyte of storage on Dropbox or on
Dropbox
Google Drive.
Yeah, Dropbox is about $110-$115 now.
Yeah, dollars.
And I've got Ratpack, which is another feature. Like I've spoken about this before, it keeps unlimited revisions for a year on all my files.
Yeah.
So again, you know, if I have lots of design files floating around, there's a problem or something crashes or I flatten a file, you know, you can roll back and.
Yeah.
I don't know if OneDrive has that, but that is an important feature to have on cloud storing, especially where other people also work on the files.
Yeah, for sure. So it's nice and fast now. So
fantastic.
It makes absolute sense for me to use OneDrive, given that I get this terabyte of free storage. Why pay again to another provider?
No, I agree. I'm actually going to try it this weekend and upload my photographs, because you can never have too many secure backups of lifetimes worth of photographs. Mm-hmm. We'll report back next week and we can see.
Yeah. So that's quite exciting. So it looks like both cloud providers, Amazon and Microsoft, which are the two biggest cloud providers in the world, or as Jeremy Clarkson says, in the world.
The world.
Have you been watching the new season, by the way?
No, I haven't actually.
It's very good. They've actually stepped up their game from the last season. It's very good.
Been seeing a lot of the YouTube promo videos. And it looks really good.
Yeah, that's great.
Do you still subscribe to Amazon?
I do, but there's a dearth of content on there, and I'm probably going to cancel when this season of the Grand Tour finishes.
But it's nice that you can do that, isn't it? Just subscribe for a month, binge it, and stop it. I stopped Showmax for a while because there was nothing really that hooked me there, but Netflix, I can't cancel Netflix. There's just too much
to
good
watch
new
on
stuff on there.
Yeah.
You never get bored. And obviously Rick and Morty's on there, so how can you cancel?
Oh, there's so many good shows. The Crown has just landed, season two. Did you watch season one of The Crown?
No.
Brilliant show. One of the best.
No, we spoke about. I'm trying to spend my time in gaming rather these days.
Okay.
So we'll talk about my pick later. But
okay.
So I've kind of stepped away from. I want to educate, or not educate. I want to keep my brain more active when I'm got downtime. I find gaming, getting back into my gaming was. Yeah. A nice way to do that. So
I've been playing a lot of Party Hard this week, by the way.
Oh, fantastic game.
Just
love
that. Yeah, that was my pick last week in Rechot's pick a couple of months ago. It's completely addictive and so difficult.
I love just sitting on the couch and just have my laptop open and just with my, you know, with the key button, you've got two hands and just play it like an old school game.
Great game. How did we get onto the subject of
Amazon and Microsoft servers?
Yeah. I think we've pretty much covered that. I want to talk a bit about Asher Bobot. He is the founder of EOH, did an incredible job building that business up into, I think, South Africa's biggest IT services company. A huge company with at least 10, probably 12, possibly even more thousand employees. Massive operation. They've built it through acquisitions and organic growth. Done a very good job of that. But the wheels kind of have come off this year a bit. As Shabobot stepped down in May, left the board, left the company completely and went on a sabbatical. He was meant to return to the board around this time as a non-executive director. But he's actually returned as head of strategy and stakeholder relations, which is an interesting move. He's not back on the board. And he's got an open-ended contract. Now, we spoke about EOH in quite some detail last week, so I'm not going to rehash a lot of that, and I'm sure you've read all the stories on Tech Central about it. But their share price has taken an absolute hammering. Two of their directors got into, and I'm not an expert on these things, so I'm going to try and summarize it, but they got into positions where they bought shares and hedged it against, or they bought it on a leveraged basis, if that's the right terminology. And if there are any financial people and accountants and analysts listening to this, please excuse me for butchering the terminology. But basically, they borrowed to buy shares. And then when the share price tanked, the financial services institutions they did the deals with were forced sellers. So they had no choice. They sold the shares. And that caused the share price to collapse. Mm-hmm. It was already falling, but then it just fell out of bed. Jahan McKay, who's the head of public enterprise or public sector business at EOH, was forced to sell hundreds of millions of rands worth of shares. And he was selling shares right at the bottom of the market at 26.55 rand. And this is a share price that before this started was sitting at 80 rand. So he was forced to sell massive chunks of shares in EOH simply because of this structure that he entered into with these financial services companies. Now, there's been a lot of discussion on Twitter and elsewhere in the last few days about whether this makes sense at all. I mean, in effect, this guy had these positions which caused the share price to collapse.
Some bad bets being made, really.
Yeah, they're gambling on the share price, and some investors and analysts on Twitter saying, just this in the last 24 hours, that this sort of thing, companies sort of shouldn't allow this sort of thing. I mean, it's massive destruction of shareholder value, compounded by these bad decisions. In effect, these two directors crashed the share price. Certainly, it was already falling because of rumors in the market and talk about possible corruption and stuff like that. But it fell all the way down into the 20s because these directors or these financial services institutions that structured these deals with these directors were forced to sell the shares. Some analysts, some people on Twitter suggesting that these guys should be fired.
I would think. I mean, yeah, something has to happen. I mean, for you to bring. I mean, how much money and how many people's jobs are at stake when something like this happens? Mm. You're really playing with livelihoods here.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound like you should be able to do something like this quite easily. So were there checks and balances in place, you know, or were the right procedures followed? And it all stinks if it wasn't.
Mm.
It's scary.
I don't think it was illegal, but certainly it's something I think EOH needs to look at from a corporate governance perspective to avoid this sort of thing happening again.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, obviously these directors thought the share price was going to keep going up. They didn't ever see the share price dropping to the levels where these financial services institutions, where these directors became forced sellers. Mm. But, you know, that's a big risk to take. You're basically taking a bet that the share price is not
like going to... It's like me going to a casino and betting my house bond on a hand of blackjack. It's yeah. roughly the same thing. I mean, if I win big, yeah, it's great. But the chances still are, you know, percentage-wise of what I would...
These guys just don't think they thought that the share price could fall to this sort of level, this sort of degree, and then it became like a falling set of dominoes, the bottom fell out of the market. Yeah. So I've asked to do a podcast with Asha Bobot and Zunaid Mayet, the CEO. I'm still waiting to hear back on that. Tentative yes so far, but I'm looking forward to doing that if they agree. It'll be a very interesting discussion. And at that point, we need to take an ad break. We'll be back right after this.
Honey, why can't I download any more series?
Dad, my game just bombed.
Daddy, I was speaking to Kevin and my call just cut out.
With uncapped Vox fiber to the home, reaching your cap is a thing of the past. You can have all your devices connected all the time. Get unlimited browsing, unlimited calling, and unlimited entertainment. Vox Fibre. Now uncapped. T's and C's apply. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Well, welcome back to the show. How's it, Rechot?
How's it, Duncan? Jingle bells.
Jingle bells. We might do one more podcast before the end of the year. Yeah. I know you're going down to Durban, so it's a bit touch and go at the moment.
I'm coming back here just for the podcast.
Oh, excellent stuff.
I mean it.
That's dedication.
No, I mean, you can't knock the end of the year properly, and I think we've got a good show next week.
Yeah, we are. We're looking to have a guest on next week, so it should be good fun. So, interesting piece that was published on MoneyWeb this morning, which we picked up on Tech Central, and that is that SARS, the South African Revenue Service, wants its pound of flesh when it comes to Bitcoin and crypto.
It wants it's part of the IO currency.
So, it's an interesting one. I'll just read the story here. The South African Revenue Service is in discussions with some of the top technology companies in the world to enable it to track cryptocurrency trades more efficiently. And then they quote Dr. Randall Carolison, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, SARS Group Executive for Research, saying that the organization is having discussions with counterparts elsewhere in the world on how to track cryptocurrency trades. He says, as you can imagine, it's very difficult without revealing too much. We are talking to some of the top tech companies in the world that are doing similar work for Canada and the UK, and we are hoping to get that technology. Now, this raises interesting questions about how traceable crypto money is. We all know that Bitcoin is pseudonymous, so it's not fully anonymous. We all know that if you trade through a local platform like Luno, you have to provide your FICA documents. So Luno is obviously, if you're trading through Luno, you can pretty much expect that SARS is going to know what
we'll
you're
know
doing.
We'll know about it, yeah.
The question is, if you're using an international exchange to buy crypto.
If you're a purist, yeah, you don't touch South African. Yeah.
Now, I suppose the bank would have ways of the revenue service would have ways of knowing if you've put money into an exchange. They'd be able to see that.
Yeah.
If you're taking money in rand and putting it into one of those exchanges. But from beyond that, if you're investing in a crypto that is truly anonymous, like Monero or something similar, pseudonymous cryptocurrency, one that's really is anonymous and one which completely hides who you are, SARS can't see what's happening. And you can transfer that around then into different cryptocurrencies, and they'll never have any idea of how much profit you're making or losses you're making. So it's an interesting one. It's going to be very difficult, as Dr. Carolison says, for SARS to try and do this. I mean, he admits that the best way they've got of taxing you on this at the moment is through your own honest declarations to them. I would imagine that there's not much real declaration going on by people playing in crypto money in this country.
No, paying your TV license is the right thing to do. Doesn't quite sound the same. But for me, it's also the same as any international. If you own a house overseas, SARS recently last year did an amnesty program. But if you have assets overseas and that money if you don't pay from a South African bank account, if none of those systems touch anything that, touch South African economies, how would they trace it? I mean, unless they work with banks overseas to get information on South Africans who've got accounts, But yeah, I mean, unless there's no ways for them to.
Of course, if you cash it out into rands, then they will see it.
But you'll be taxed on. But if you do it in small amounts, maybe. I mean, is it a PayPal payout? I've got stock photographs on Adobe. That money coming into my account. Yeah. I would declare it at the end of the year when I do my taxes and that kind of thing.
Yes.
But with Bitcoin, if you mine it, use an international, like you said, you use one of the international traders. Mm. And
and increasingly, you can pay for services in crypto money. So, you and I spend a lot of money on international software and stuff like that, subscriptions. You just cash it out into dollars or pay directly in a crypto currency. For those services, and you'll never have to cash it out in South Africa, yet you're getting the access to those services.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they are going to work on honesty. And I mean, people obviously ultimately would want that money. So unless you've got, you're not really particularly keen on or interested in bringing that money to South Africa for whatever reason, then they will never know. It's for most people who would dabble in Bitcoin as an investment and want some of that money at some point. I mean, pretty straightforward that they will be, SARS will get involved there, and I think they'll get a fair share. But as with any assets of South Africans may own, you won't catch them all.
No,
certainly won't.
Yeah, but certainly if you want to hide these things, then you probably shouldn't be transacting through something like Luno.
Then you would be. I'm sure that, and they also work on slightly bigger scale. You wouldn't want to be managing that on an app necessarily. Mm. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but SARS, I do think they're going to have a lot of difficulty with this. And I think people who invest in Bitcoin also tend to be the more libertarian-minded types who are probably actively trying to avoid paying tax anyway.
Well, that's the reason why you went to this, potentially to bypass the traditional currency issues.
But certainly we're in the very early stages of the cryptocurrency revolution, and we don't know where it's going, but if you listen to the people who are what would I call them? The people who are really bullish on crypto, or the people who the people with crypto religion, if I can put it that way. I mean, these guys think that crypto money is going to destroy the reserve, going to destroy central banks, going to destroy nation states, is going to transform the world fundamentally. Those guys are not paying or don't want to pay tax, I can assure you.
And let's be honest, we all agree with them. I mean, a digital era needs a new way of, I guess, currency, a new transaction platform. You can't mix old and new for too long.
I actually recorded a very interesting podcast this morning. It's just gone live on Tech Central with Sonny Fisher. Now, he's the founder of a company called For Us Holdings, and they're building a digital platform, a digital exchange. I hope I'm not going to butcher this bit, but because it is quite complex. But they're using blockchain. They've built a platform on top of blockchain technology, aimed at both banked and unbanked, but particularly aimed at poorer people who currently pay exorbitant fees for access to formalized financial services. And they're planning to take on a global basis. They've been working on this for 8 years, but they're planning to take on a global basis MasterCard and Visa and offer zero fee transactions and other services on top of blockchain. They've thought it through very carefully, some interesting stuff. They're planning to list on the JSE in the not too distant future, 2018 I think it'll be. Sonny Fisher reckons they'll have a market cap north of 5 billion rand, which would make them a significant enterprise. Wow. But they're starting in Port Elizabeth, of all places. Not exactly the epicenter of innovation, but they want to turn Port Elizabeth into a cashless economy. Zero transaction fees. At the moment, MasterCard and Visa take a cut off straight off the top, and it's a significant cut. Pick and Pay and other retailers complain about this vociferously, about the charges they pay when you swipe with your card, and it actually adds to the cost of groceries because they've got to pass it on to consumers.
Man, these companies are massive. Just look at what Visa, MasterCard are doing marketing wise alone. They're spending billions.
But it's a fascinating podcast. I don't know if he's going to pull it off. He's certainly one of those guys who talks a big game. He's certainly ambitious. He's been working on this for 8 years now.
That's a long time.
Go and have a listen to that podcast. It was a really interesting discussion. Sonny Fisher from For Us, Global Digital Exchange, I think it's called. And he really wants to reinvent the global payments business.
So if he wants to do free transactions, where would the money come from? I mean, who would be paying for what?
So he's got a number of revenue models. He goes into it in the podcast, but one of them is advertising based. Okay. So you'll see an ad when you do a transaction. I'm not sure I'd like that, but if you're getting a free transaction and you're at the lower end of the market, maybe you're not really going to object to seeing an ad in return for not paying a transaction fee. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll definitely listen to the podcast. I mean, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I know, it's well worth a listen. I actually met him last week and was going to write a story about it, and I thought, This is quite complex, and I think it would be better as a podcast, because then we can go into the detail. And you know, I'm going to write a 600-word story that's probably going to leave out half the detail. So it's a 50-minute podcast, but well worth investing
in. That's why we love podcasts, Dan.
Absolutely.
These things are amazing.
And it's the holidays coming up, so lots of time to listen to them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. And that's our news this week. Let's move on to our regular picks, winners and losers. I thought we'd pick Microsoft and Amazon as a winner this week for investing in Africa, investing in South Africa, building cloud infrastructure here. It's very welcome news. No doubt Amazon is going to be following Microsoft with full data centers here in 2018. But they're putting the money down and putting, you know, there's a land grab going on. So well done, guys, for investing in this market, which is certainly not the most important market for them on a global scale.
Yeah, but they are spending the money. Yeah. You said land grab. I was just going to say all our bases are soon going to belong to them.
True. Don't they already?
Yeah.
And our loser this week is nobody, because we don't have one. So anyone out there
you don't
who
want
thought,
to be mean this
anyone
week.
Out there who thought we might pick them, rest easy this week. What's your pick this week, Richard?
Okay, so I mentioned that I was getting in. I'm enjoying games a lot more again. You know, I'm trying to get back into and just kind of stimulate my mind in other ways rather than sitting in front of the TV and vegging out. And Rockstar Games has always been one of my favorite producers. I mean, I like GTA immensely. I mean, I just got bored of it because I've been playing it so much.
GTA 5 is fantastic.
Yeah, online play is amazing. I mean, I played through the single-player missions. So my next option, I went looking for a few kind of alternative solutions. I was playing with the name escaped me. I was playing with one or two other games, didn't really hit the spot, and then I looked back at Rockstar's other games. Two of them stood out for me, Bully and Red Dead Redemption. And I ended up going with Red Dead Redemption because I just, you know, I felt like a Western story style was more of my thing. And it is what a phenomenal game. Absolutely enjoyable single-player mission. Stories are really good. Gameplay is fantastic. And all based around a similar kind of gameplay environment that you used to in GTA 5, except you got horses and the outback. I also picked it because Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out soon. It's in the works at the moment, and that's touted to be a pretty one of the biggest titles for the new Xbox. Also,
I am really annoyed that it's not coming to PC, as the previous one didn't either.
I wasn't actually sure if it was available on PC.
No, never. They never released it on PC.
See, I'm playing it on my Xbox 360, and this is another thing that I wanted to pick: Xbox 360 games on demand. What a fantastic service! I mean, 4 gigs download, R199, you got your game. I mean, they've got varying prices for varying games, but they've got a really good selection. It's the stuff that I would want to go buy when I go to the game store now. It's kind of the best of the catalog that they've had over the years. So it's well worth checking out. I mean, you don't have to go get the game, you know, buy it, download it on fiber, and you got it the same night, you know, without leaving your house. But Red Dead Redemption, there's also a bunch of add-ons. There's an undead add-on, so you can play the same game. There's a storyline, but you know, you just have to fight a cure. You get a cure for the zombie outbreak. So it's kind of based on that premise. And also some online play, which I haven't really got into. I did it an hour or so the other night, but the single player for me is where this game and Rockstar is particularly strong.
I remember our friend Simon Dingle was a huge fan of Red Dead Redemption. He was playing it endlessly at one point. I think he called it Grand Theft Horse.
Grand Theft Horse, yeah. There's nothing like galloping horses on those open plains. I mean, it's a nice complex. It's a nice, interesting game with complex features. Yeah. I mean, it's a wide open. Yeah. You can go into the felt and pick big herbs and hunt for animals, and you get obviously points for these things because you use the actual stuff that you do, and there's strangers that you interact with. I mean, it's a nice world.
Which
it's like
who,
West
who
World
who you can shoot in the head.
Yeah, you can shoot anybody in the head, but there would be consequences if you shoot the wrong people. But yeah, it's one of the few games in my life that I've binged. Battlefield was one of them. GTA, the entire series was one of them. This is another.
So okay, I'm looking forward to seeing the sequel. Although I don't think I'm going to be buying a console to play it. Red Dead Redemption came out quite a while ago, so the graphics must be a bit dated by now.
Not really. I mean, Xbox 360 is as good as what you're going to get on there. But if you're used to a GTA, I mean, this is if you're comparing to PC gameplay, it's obviously not the same, and it is a bit of an older game. But I mean, on my console, it's as good as GTA 5 ever was on my console. You know, I've got an Xbox 360, not an Xbox One.
Right.
So again, you need to keep that in mind.
Sure.
But I never once looked at it and said, shit, this could have been better.
Yes.
You know, the gameplay was... It works.
Yes.
It works. I mean, I would love to see Red Dead 2 because I think that's going to blow this one out of the water in terms of graphics, obviously.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
And from the trailers I've seen, the world just looks so much more beautiful and deep, with a higher definition graphics. But,
yeah.
You know, to get the gameplay out and just shoot some bandits, you know,
yeah.
and ride and steal some trains, you know, yeah. that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll pick some daisies in a field.
Pick some daisies in the field, you do.
I worry about you, Rafa.
You can play, there's also some poker side games. I mean, I have spent an hour or so playing Texas Hold'em the other night. Yeah. You know, it's just fun. I mean,
yeah.
it's a nice varying. You know, GTA, the varying nature of the side missions and everything you can yes. do. But yeah.
I remember, speaking of games within games, did you ever play the Space Quest series?
Yeah, very long ago.
Yeah, it was. I loved that game. But there was a video game arcade machine in one of the games. And you could walk up to it and play the game. And the video arcade game was arguably better than the game. It was called Funky Chicken or something.
Oh wow!
And you had flying chickens, and it was the most addictive thing. I spent more time playing the arcade video game box inside Space Quest and playing Space Quest itself. It's like playing the game, going through all the rooms, got to get to this thing, stop, play it.
Play it for you. Yeah. That was the same way with Pokemon.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah. Fact, let me just Google what it was called. Space Quest Chicken Game. It was called, here we go, Astro Chicken. You never played that.
No.
It was,
I was more of a Monkey Island fan. That sounds right up your alley.
If anyone played Space Quest, they'll remember that game. It was really fun with bouncing chickens. It was in space. It was a bit like Space Invaders. but really good. Astro Chicken. It was fantastic. Space Quest 3. It was in Space Quest 3. I think that was my favorite game series as a kid growing up, Space Quest. It was just the humor was it just appealed to me. You played a janitor called Roger Wilco.
Yes, Roger Wilco.
Save the universe from itself, yeah.
Yes, and then somebody later on brought out Roger Wilco, the communications app. You remember that? We used to play games, and then you'd chat to your friends over Roger Wilco about the game, because you didn't have in-game chat.
Oh, really?
No,
I don't remember that. No. Right, my pick this week is a launcher for Android, which I've installed on my Galaxy S8, and it's really cool. It's called the there's a couple of these launchers, but the two main ones are the Nova Launcher and Action Launcher. And I've installed Action Launcher. It brings many of the features of Oreo to your phone before Oreo arrives on your phone. But it's so customizable and allows you to do such wonderful tweaking, and that's the thing I love about Android.
Yeah.
You can put a new launcher on top of your phone. On an iPhone, you just can't do this. It's Apple's way or the highway. But I really like it a lot. It looks quite different.
The rounded, the options with the rounded icons.
You can choose the icon shapes and size and all the rest of it. If I just flick across there, there's my diary that flops out as a window.
Yes.
But this is fully customizable. This can be anything. You can put app icons on here. You can put widgets, anything on that little thing. Of course, you can have multiple screens like you always do. But I like this as well. You swipe across from the left-hand side of the screen. If I can, I had something open there. And it brings up all your apps, and if you want to get
cool.
to an app quickly, you can just scroll there, and it'll show you the letter of the alphabet, and you can just quickly find an app.
Nice. So, I mean, obviously, as templates, you say to it, you want this option on that side, and then
you can choose. It's infinitely customizable.
Nice.
Yeah. And you can really do a lot with this launcher. It's very good. I've played with Nova as well, and I prefer Action Launcher. And I know that other people might prefer Nova because it allows you to do different things and the customization, the look and feel of it.
Yeah.
But I really like this. It's really simple. You get to what you want to do quickly. So it's improved my productivity on the phone. Now, I'm a big fan of the Samsung TouchWiz interface. I'm not used to hate it, but since the S8, it's actually improved a lot.
Okay.
But I felt like a change, and Android luckily allows you to make a change if you want to, without having to root the phone or do something like that, where you have to be, really know what you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to.
We all know you don't like Apple.
Is that too obvious?
I mean, is that obvious?
I do use an iPad.
No, I mean, it's nice to customize. I just, it's one of the few things I do miss about, having an iPhone. But also, it doesn't really bother me in the long run. But I've been playing a lot more with Android phones, and, vanilla Android is great. But you want to customize more.
Mm.
You do want to add just enhancements where it adds to your life, I guess.
Yeah. So that's Action Launcher. I'll include a link to that in the show notes. And go check it out. If you're using an Android phone and you feel like a change to what you've been running, if you've been running the same phone for a year and you're a bit bored with the interface, then Action Launcher and Nova Launcher are both good, but there are tons of them out there. Tons and tons of them. Just Google best Android launchers and you'll find plenty of articles going through the merits of each. And that, I think, Rechat, is our show.
Yeah.
Let's do our quiz. Let me jump in with the first question. Amazon Web Services said this week that it is launching its AWS Direct Connect service in South Africa through which data center operator? And that is, of course, Teraco.
The second question, what is the name of the Director General driving government's implementation of the ICT policy white paper? The answer is Robert Nkuna.
Government may amend which piece of legislation to introduce net neutrality rules in South Africa? And that is the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act.
Fourth question, Google this week published its top trending searches in South Africa for 2017. Which late actor was in the number one position? And the answer is Dumi Masilela.
And our last question this week, Asher Bobot, returned to EOH this week. What will his new role be? And that is Head of Strategy and Stakeholder Management. And that's our show. We will be back next week. Rechat, you say you're back from Durban. We're hoping to get a guest in next week as well. Have a nice end-of-year show, but talk about the biggest stories of the year, maybe talk about the most defining tech of the year as well.
As our way
into the Christmas season. So please look out for that. If you're going to be traveling before then, please drive safely. We love to have you as listeners. Mm-hmm. And as always, if you have any feedback, and we've been getting quite a bit of it lately, please do use our email address, info@techcentral.co.za. We love getting your correspondence. Until next time, from Rechat and myself, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.